Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is December 21st, 2018. Happy Friday to all of you out there. And happy Friday to my two guests today, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Is it really the 21st of December?
According to all of my devices, it is in fact the 21st of December.
Okay, fine. Be linear. I'm fine. I'm just everything's fine.
Brian's been waiting for this podcast recording a whole week tomorrow.
Brian is one of those heptapods that thinks like circular in time.
Wait, time is a flat circle? Wait. Okay. Also with me today, giving us some insight into Brian's standard sunny attitude today is Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Happy holidays and Merry Friday.
Yes, Merry Friday to everyone. And we're going to kick off the show today with a smidge, it's just a smidge, I promise, of what they call the book learning. We're going to go to stock market school with Brian Chaffin, who is going to explain something to us, which is that we've seen a number of headlines in the last couple of days about Apple and the stock market and the death cross. And it sounds really bad, but it may not be.
It's not good, Booney, to hit the death cross. But all right, so the death cross is for traders who do stocks technical analysis. In other words, they're buying and selling stocks on anything about the company, but more reading the tea leaves of what charts are doing.
So this doesn't have anything to do with having any faith in the company itself or what the company is doing or even knowing anything about the company. It's just sort of looking at some math and using that math to extrapolate something else and then conducting trade based on that.
It's looking at charts, and that's not necessarily, I mean, the charts are math, I suppose, but I mean, it's, I'm not a technical trader. I don't do technical analysis. I don't really about technical analysis. I think that it is voodoo at best.
Okay.
There are lots of people who make their living trading stocks using technical analysis, and that's fine for them. But it's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to defend it, and I'm also not necessarily going to defend either. I mean, it's like, all right, so let's actually say what the is. It's where I think the 200-day moving average crosses below, or the 50-day moving average crosses below the 200-day moving average, or in other words, like the recent average price of the stock than the slightly less recent average price of the stock.
Okay. And in this specific case, because we're talking about Apple, Apple is one of a wide variety of companies that's on the stock market, that's been on the stock market this year, that has gone down in value over 200 days and also over the last 50 days. So
yes,
this is not, at this moment anyway, it is not an uncommon thing to see this phenomenon across a wide variety of stocks that are traded.
So, well, Kelly, honestly, like, when you ask me that question, what I'm hearing is Apple fan wanting to defend Apple. And what I would rather do instead say that it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Apple, but that doesn't mean that it's not bad.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
The stock market is dealing with uncertainty. It's dealing with economic uncertainty. There's a lot of things that are going on that have little or nothing to do with Apple.
I'm just Apple trying to get is, to it's not unique. Apple's not the only stock that did this. It's notable because in this particular case, it's notable because it's Apple. I'm not saying it's good news. I'm not trying to excuse it, but it's not like this is the only stock that this has happened to. And the only thing so far that I've seen notable about this one is that, you know, people talk about the FANG stocks and Apple was the last one to do this. The others already have.
Yes. Apple is, in fact, the last of the FANG stocks to do it. And the FANG stocks are Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google.
Apple was the last of the FANG stocks to hit this death cross. And what I'm trying to get around is panicking because people think that this is unique to Apple. There are way more solid reasons to panic about this than because it happened to an Apple stock. That's what I'm trying to get to.
I should note that I have a very small holding in Apple stock. I like to always make sure that listeners and readers know that. It doesn't affect my coverage of the stock. It doesn't affect my coverage of the company. I don't, generally speaking, give stock buying advice. Mm-hmm. I will note that I am still an Apple stockholder and a long-term holder. That's kind of how I roll. So if you're going to be concerned about Apple hitting the death cross and on a more macro level, because it doesn't have anything to do, like there's no new news driving all this. There's just general sentiment that is chasing most stocks. And the Apple hitting its death cross, if anything, is, you know, yet another sign of broader turmoil that more so than it is a sign of actual problems for Apple's stock itself.
Yeah. And that's sort of what I want to get to is that, like I said, it's not that this is Apple specific. Like this is happening. This has happened to a number of companies. And that's the part that I just sort of that. First of all, I wanted to understand what it was and what it meant. So thank you, Brian, for telling us about the death crash. And the other issue is just like, you know, that sounds really bad. Well, it is, but it's also not unique. And so I'm not trying to excuse anything that's going on. I'm just trying to get some context around it. That, yeah, this is happening to a number of stocks and it's not great. So There are way better reasons to be stressed out about the stock market than this one thing that happened to this one stock this one time.
You know, in general, like when I think about Apple stock, my mantra is essentially, if you believe that Apple has categories coming out, the stock is probably undervalued. And if you believe that Apple has, you know, innovated all it's ever going to innovate and it's not going to release any new product lines, then the stock is, you know, somewhere between fairly valued and overvalued. And if you think that the economy is going to collapse, well, then that's your business.
All true things. So Andrew, what have you seen about this? Are you picking up alarm bells like I did, which is why I asked about it this morning?
I actually hadn't heard anything about the death cross until you mentioned it this morning. An article that I'm looking at right now from MarketWatch, like Brian was saying, they say that these Apple has had death crosses before. This is the first one they've had in 3 years. And what they say is look at the bigger picture, because their last death crosses ended up being warning signs of further what they call weakness. I don't know how they define weakness. Probably just something to do with the stock price. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's anything we necessarily have to be concerned about, I think, unless maybe you're an investor.
Yeah, I think it's more, it seems to me like it's additionally an indicator because, again, four of the biggest stocks that people watch are are also stocks that have had this happen to them already. So it just seems like there's more signs pointing to a downward trend. So if that's the thing you want to freak out about that. But it's not a freak out, I guess, that you should limit to Apple stock. So I think that's kind of where we are trying to get to. So that was the thing I wanted to discuss. So thank you, Brian, for coming by and helping us sort that out. And with that, I would like to move on to our sponsors. And our first sponsor today is OpsGenie. When it comes to incidents, either planned or unplanned, it all comes down to how your company responds. Prompt and precise alerting is the critical first step because applications are more complex than ever. Incidents often require coordination between multiple teams. That's why there's OpsGenie by Atlassian. OpsGenie empowers dev and ops teams to plan service disruptions and stay in control. And teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently and make sure the right people get notified thanks to integration with lots and lots of services. And if you visit opsgenie.com, OpsGenie.com, you can sign up today and get a free company account where you can add up to 5 team members. And our second sponsor today is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now is going to come in extra handy as we head into Christmas, as everybody's going home to visit people. You can set up, manage, and protect Apple devices on demand. They support macOS and iOS devices, so iMacs, iPhones, iPads, and iPods. And you can keep track of the operating system and the serial number. You can make sure that system updates are going out or not, depending on how you feel about the latest system updates. You can monitor the system versions and you can lock down settings so that people can't accidentally do things like sign out of all of their iCloud services. And you can also make sure that things like email settings can't get mucked around with so that people can continue to use their devices successfully. 3 devices are free and additional devices are $2 a month. You can head over to the Jamf website, which is jamf.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account today. Now, our other topic today is a subject that is not only seasonal, but has a really nice story to it. So I want to go ahead and talk to you, Andrew, about Santa tracking.
Yeah, so I wrote a roundup of a couple of apps and services about ways you and your kids can track Santa for the holidays. Probably the most popular service is from NORAD, and this is where it all started. So back in 1955, when NORAD was known as the Continental Air Defense Command, Sears had printed this newspaper ad that said, "Hey kids, call Santa," and they gave a number. Well, they made a mistake with that number, and instead of calling Santa, kids ended up calling NORAD Command.
Oh my gosh, yep.
And this was like a secret military hotline. Only 2 people in the world had this number.
Thanks, so, Sears.
Yeah, and of course, this is the 50s. We're in the Cold War. And, you know, the person who picked up that first phone call was a colonel at the command station, and at first he thought it was a joke, of course, but the kid who called him started crying. So then he just said, you know, ho ho ho, and asked if he'd been a good boy, and then him and his airmen ended up just going along with it. And so they called a local radio station and they said, "This is the commander. We have identified an unidentified flying object, and it looks like a sleigh." And so every hour, the radio station called them to check and say, "Where is Santa now?"
Yeah.
So that's how it got started.
And I always liked that story.
I had not heard it, so thank you, Andrew. Oh.
And I enjoy, the thing that I enjoy about it is that eventually they just sort of went for it, and then that the radio station went back for follow-up regularly. Like, that was that's the part of that that I've enjoyed. So back in the day, before there were smartphones and smartphone apps and all that kind of stuff, you could go to NORAD's website and they have a Santa tracker. And you could just load up that webpage and look at that webpage and see where Santa was in the world. And obviously that page has evolved over time as technology has evolved over time. But it's really, it's just a nice story. So I know that you can, track via the NORAD website, but there's other ways to track Santa as well, right?
Yeah. So, one app that I found was just like a standard tracking app. Another one I found was a bit more interesting. So a parent has to set up this app and it lets your kids video call Santa. And like, I'm not really sure how it works because these calls are, you know, pre-recorded and simulated, but it ends up being personalized.
Okay. So
in the parent section of the app, you can enter things about your kid, like how old they are, like what's their favorite food or color. And then the app will use that information to make the Santa, like, quote unquote, know things about the kid, just to make it, you know, more realistic. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. And there are a number of other things that you can do. I know at one point there was a website where you could go and fill out this kind of information, you know, a first name and a little of this and a little of that. And then a phone call would go out to would go to the kid from Santa. It's sort of like those ones that you see every so often that somebody puts together, you know, and you fill out like the phone number and the person's name and whatever. And then some automated call goes out to that person.
Oh, yeah.
I think the one that sticks out in my mind the most that I abused a whole lot when it was first released was they had one where Samuel L. Jackson would call people, and it was about snakes on a plane. And so, you know, he'd call up and be like, "Andrew, this is Samuel L. Jackson." And then he would talk to you about, like, he would have, like, a couple sentences about you because you would fill out something about the person. And then he would tell you that he was calling you personally to get you to go see the movie.
That's awesome.
It was great. And, like, I would have paid for one that sounded like actual Samuel L. Jackson and not the G-rated version. Which I still think is a service he should offer. But anyway, it's I know there are other apps out there where you can do things like with the phone call or sometimes even the video call. Some of that technology has gotten pretty good. And like Andrew talked about, he has written about it. So you can find this over at the Mac Observer website. And I think that's probably going to go ahead and do it for us today. I will let all of you know a bit of housekeeping. Is that we will not be in Monday and Tuesday, so the next time we will talk to you will be next Wednesday. And so we wish all of you very, very happy holidays. And I can tell you that what we here at Daily Observations would like for Christmas is some iTunes reviews. So if you have time between Christmas and New Year's, swing by, give us some iTunes reviews, and we will always take your feedback at TMO Daily on Twitter, and we will also take it at observations@macobserver.com. Thank you, Brian, for joining us today. And thank you, Andrew, for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays to all of you. And as I said, we will see you again on Wednesday. And until then, because it is the holiday season, be extra excellent to each other.